Welcome to the Pulse Podcast, where we talk to digital health enthusiasts, experts, and entrepreneurs from all over the world.
I'm so excited to be talking to our guest today. I've been following her for a while on LinkedIn. I think the work that she's doing is amazing. But just before we get to that, a quick reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like this video if you want to see more videos like this. So today we have with us Dr. Sana Fareed. She is a surgeon and entrepreneur. The CEO and co-founder of Munfarid Consulting, which is an AR/VR education consultancy consortium. She is an author, a futurist, and also she has been termed as a pioneer immersive technology strategist in the MENA region. So I'm wondering if there's anything she can't do. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Sana.
Thank you very much, Dr. Amaida, for your nice introduction. Thank you.
So Dr. Sana, first of all, you know, thank you for being with us. I know you're a very busy person and thank you for taking out the time. I would like to start off by asking you, actually, I know you're a surgeon, and something that I get asked often myself as a doctor who is not in clinical medicine or has an alternative career. I get questioned by a lot of people. Are you a real doctor? Why did you leave medicine? And questions like that. So I want to ask you, how did you go from being into mainstream medicine into something that's so unconventional, like health tech?
Yes, Dr. Maida, I can relate to the same. This was also a question that I faced a lot. And even in today's time, sometimes I face this. But I think, especially in today's time, many of the careers are merging together. You see that fintech is merging with healthcare, education is merging with blockchain. So in the coming days, we will be merging a lot of fields with each other. So what intrigued me about technology was basically is that you understand, or everybody understand, that healthcare is one of the most influenced fields by technologies like artificial intelligence, robotics, and many others. However, the adoption of technology in healthcare, as much as it's needed, it is a slow because of the procedures, because of the regulations. In my career as a medical doctor, I was doing two things. One is the patient interaction, and one is the training for future doctors and as well. So in both of them, I could see that there is a lot effort put, but the outcome is very slow and very time taking. Yet we do have means for faster communication, for quicker interaction, to basically enhance the way we communicate with people, the way we treat, the way we learn, and everything. So this is what intrigued me about learning more and more about how to integrate technology into healthcare. And to be honest, I don't think it's a very distant field from each other. Every field, as I said, is becoming an essential part of the other field in today's time.
No, that makes sense. I think technology is integrating across various industries. And if we can just use it and, you know, see the impact that it's making in the healthcare industry to improve the patient outcomes, I think that's amazing. Actually, my next question, it's such a beautiful segue into that next question, is how has it been in your experience? How do you think that immersive technology, AR, VR, XR, is helping patient outcomes? And how is it improving patient care, so to speak?
Thank you for this question. It's very interesting. In my opinion, we do see a lot of technologies, but immersive technology is one that is evolving very strongly into every sector. When we talk about healthcare, immersive technology does have various applications. If I try to explain this to, in the simplest word, I explain it that whatever we can do in real life, we can do that in the extended world or in the metaverse with easier access, a more affordable way, multiple times of practice. So starting from early careers in the medical, if you focus on the healthcare, starting from learning about basic sciences, we can do that in extended reality, whether it's virtual reality or augmented reality. How extended reality tools help us understand human anatomy better in a more interactive way, and even other subjects. Moving on to for example, other subjects like pathology, pharmacology, it helps us understand the process and the lessons in an interactive way, in an active mode, compared to the passive mode that we have been used to since centuries. Moving on into clinical practice, we are able to practice on realistic scenarios, and to the extent that educators or instructor can create their own customized scenarios, add even risky cases or very difficult cases such as bleeding in the middle of an open surgery, for example. These are some of the cases that are sometimes impossible to practice on in real life because you do have a real danger with a real patient. However, imagine if you have everything just like the real world, but with zero risk on the surgeon or the practitioner, zero risk on the nurse, and zero risk on the patient. So you're gaining maximum experience practicing in the digital world. What happens with this is that when you come in the real world and you're practicing in real life, you're much more confident. You have already developed the muscle memory with your hands and your experience and your body language. So you're much more used to the environment. And then we do have a lot of uses of extended reality for patient care. When we're educating patient about their condition, XR is also being used for pain distraction therapies, doing chemotherapy sessions or dialysis, or even in pediatrics or elderly patients. So it's pretty much a lot that we can do in XR in healthcare.
Yeah, I wish you know, we had some of those applications while we were medical students. I remember we used to sit in an ACME and actually look at the bones and, you know, memorize the landmarks. And yeah, it was a very tedious. Yep, I agree with you. Definitely. I think that anywhere from education to the practical implementation, you know, in patients, definitely. Thank you for such, you know, detail. So, you know, while everything is getting so technologically advanced, it's great impact and outcomes, but there are skeptics still. And there are people who say that, you know, technology, it lacks the human quotient, there's no human touch. And then the experts coming and saying that, you know, we've also created bionic arms. And then there's haptic technology, which creates that sensation of human touch through force and vibrations. You can explain more about that. But what is it? How do you feel about this? What's your opinion on it?
I absolutely agree. There can be you know, different views of people on how they perceive technology. The best way that, in my opinion, to answer this question is technology versus human. The way I like to explain it, and I hope that it can, you know, benefit the listeners, is that put them in two hands. One hand is technology and one hand is human. From technology, we expect to get things done, which are taking a longer time for the human to do. Just like you explained earlier, tedious tasks, conventional tasks, things that are repetitive and that things that are taking a long time for the human to do with, I mean, they're not very effective as such. It can easily be replaced by the computer or by the machine and let the technology do that job. Whereas keep the human component to the human. And I'll explain that in a bit. So for example, one of the most common complaints that we have in the clinic, and I guess this is a global phenomenon, is that patients often complain that the doctor does not give me much attention and is focused on typing the history or focused on their computer because we are required to do that for data registration, for registration, the information that the patient is giving us. Now, imagine if this simple task is being replaced by the machine, so where all the relevant data is being captured, so that me as a doctor, as a practitioner, I'm focusing on my patient. Probably I'm smiling more to them. I'm listening to them more attentively. And this is as simple as how it is. I don't think technology is replacing human, and I don't think that human is qualified enough to do all the tasks that technology can be done, can do. Technology, with certain tasks, and it can help us achieve more accurate results in lesser time. So why not take the benefit of that? And the time we're saving doing that, we can focus on the other things that we have been lacking in the past, such as empathy, compassion, patient counseling. All of these things are directly proportional to the amount of response you will get from the patient, and it directly impacts on the level of their healing and their journey throughout the healing period.
Yeah, I think you touched upon such an important point. If the goal is to get more done in less time so the doctors can focus on more important facets of treating, I think that's so important. Definitely, because I think especially nowadays we're living in a time where, you know, healthcare systems are collapsing, doctors are burnt out, really. So I think that technology or AI can really, you know, shorten that time span. But Dr. Sana, as healthcare professionals, I think that we have a certain responsibility as well to not only promote and talk about the good things that technology is contributing to the healthcare systems. I think that it's upon us being from that background to sort of highlight the improvement areas as well. So we can, improve them and improve patient care even more. So if I ask you, where do you think we can improve or where are we lacking in this immersive technology or technology in healthcare? What would you say about that?
Excellent question, Dr. Maida. I think personally, I am very captivated by the massive potential of immersive technologies like extended reality. Now, just to before I, you know, dive deep into answering your question, just to clarify what extended reality is. So extended reality, in simple terms, expands our existing reality using digital tools. So in the current available examples, you can either digitally overlay information in your current reality or your current environment, or you can teleport yourself to any other environment. What is this any other environment? It could be a training scenario. It could be an emergency field. It could be an outdoor open area where there is an accident or that sort of thing. Or it could be a natural habitat or a mountainous area where we can practice meditation and other things. So this is basically extended reality is something which is not available in your real world, but using technology, you're able to see that. Just like any other technology that has been in the past, for example, social media, for example, the internet. Just a few days back, I was speaking about this. I addressed the Amara's law in extended reality. So Amara's law is about, it is a term coined by the American technology researcher Roy Amara a few years back. And it states that humans tend to, or users' attitude towards a new technology fluctuates. In the early days of any technology, they have very, very high expectation. They expect that this technology is going to give us everything. However, they forget that it's the early days for the technology as well. Hardware, software are still developing, but the user's expectations are very, very high. Now, with time, what happens is that researchers continue to work. Hardware continues to evolve in this certain technology, just like what's happening with the XR. And by the time it improves from its first phase, unfortunately, the user's expectation is very less compared to what it was. So it was high. The expectation of the end user used to be high when the technology is very new, but when the technology develops faster, people lose interest. Why? Because they're distracted by other things, or probably they kept hearing about VR, AR since so long that they're bored now and they no longer probably believe in it. So in every technology, there is a sweet spot to identify that this is the right time to implement this technology. And I think it's not just in XR, I think in everywhere, we need to understand what is the right spot to identify that now is the right time that people will be used to, for example, using XR in therapeutics. When is the time when this particular topic will be acceptable by the authorities, by the regulations, and as well as by the end user, who are the doctors, the nurses, and the patients? So I think we're still in that, I would, instead of calling it a challenge, I think it's a learning curve that is happening. But while we achieve that, I think we should not lose hope. I think we should not give up on working on technologies, because the future, or what it can achieve, is Very rewarding. So I think while experts are continuing to develop hardwares and develop more and more content, I think myself or where my work revolves around is around creating the standards. I try to understand what are the right ways to use it. I continue to experiment on best practices to be using XR with patients and XR with the students and XR in the clinical practice or in the home setting. What is the right way to implement such technologies? What are the right hardware requirements? So basically, myself, I'm working around building the best practices on doing this. And I think this is what we should be doing, developing initiative to make the use of these technologies safer and more applicable, until step by step we tick the rest of the boxes of the regulations, of the international and the local regulations, and the authorities actually taking these technologies as a mainstream.
Yeah, thank you for your effort. I think it's commendable, the amount of effort that you're putting in and, you know, paving a way for so many others that are going to come after you. Your effort will not go in vain. I want to thank you for that. And also a point that you touched on is to keep realistic expectations, give it a chance and have hope. Yep, thank you for that. So just a little bit on the personal side, I'm just going to ask you, as you know, being a female practicing immersive technology strategist, it's a very male dominant field. Has imposter syndrome ever kicked in? Have you ever felt like, you know, maybe this is too much? Is it intimidating? How has your career trajectory been in that sense?
Very interesting question, and I think there is not a single conference or talk that I'm part of that does not address to ask me about imposter syndrome, particularly. However, now that you have mentioned that if I have felt intimidated, that's a separate question. So I would like to answer both of your questions. So I think that imposter syndrome, I don't think so, not at all. I think the part of the community that I am in is very, very inclusive. It's very diverse. And I believe that any community, any organization or institute grows much better when we consider diversity, and that is diversity of thought. Bias of various types do and can coexist in the workspace, but I believe that especially in the healthcare industry and as a human race, we do have many, many challenges which are much bigger than our personal egos and challenges that we face with each other. We do have a large number of patients who don't have access to primary care, and I think that is a much bigger issue than the challenges that me or anyone else could be having in our small workplace. So I like to focus on the big picture. Of course, I know that one person or two people may not be able, but we can at least try. So in my opinion, I think we do have much bigger issues to address. And I think that if I focus on those issues and I sort of nurture diversity in my work environment, it also encourages others to be more open and more inclusive to working with me. About being intimidated, I think I have been having my own personal, intimidated by myself. I could have been overwhelmed by my own activities and so on. But whenever I try to meet people from the same field or who are interested in the same field, there is a tremendous exchange of ideas and thoughts with each other. So I think what we are doing in this field, which is particularly technologies or emerging technologies in healthcare, is that we need to work in collaboration. We need to work in an inclusive environment and understand and help actually each other grow further. Because the objective here or the challenge here is not us or our work. It's the entire humanity. And we do, as you said, we on one hand, we are facing doctors' burnout. But at the same time, we are on the global level, we are facing a major shortage in healthcare providers all over the world. Yeah. So I think we do, as a human, we do have much more bigger challenges to face.
I just absolutely, I adore your optimism. I think you're so positive, and I hope that you continue to trailblaze and do what you do, and do amazing things. Continue to do amazing things in your space.
Thank you, Dr.
And
Thank you.
Before we end up, Dr. Sana, just any advice that you would give other healthcare professionals, female, male, whoever is looking to explore immersive technology in healthcare, particularly.
Yes, I don't think, I mean, I'm still learning on everyday basis, but from what I have learned is that in general, healthcare is a lengthy or it's a tiring field, but it is very rewarding. We often spend very less time sleeping, very less time with ourselves, but the reward is massive. I think the reward of the healthcare industry or working in the healthcare industry actually, I mean, helping other people directly affects on the way we feel. It helps us heal better. It helps us relax better. So what I would, if I could, encourage other healthcare practitioners is just to believe in the power of the tools that we have today. Rather than being skeptical about it, or rather than being cautious or doubtful about it, we have to understand that we are living in the times of exponential technologies. This is the fourth industrial revolution, and it is invading our lives, whether we like it or not, just like the past industrial revolutions. So as responsible human beings, and then as responsible educated people, I think our job is to understand what is coming and how we can utilize it best with our fields, whichever field we are working in, and keep up to date, maintain a circle of active people, because what I have seen is that just being in the circle helps me to learn more, helps us to sometimes come up with a newer idea, and keep going and keep spreading positivity about the use of technology in healthcare, because there are so many doubts even in public. People are often, on one hand, they do reach to, for example, search engines or social media, yeah, but then you find them complaining about it. So I think our job is to stay positive, not just within us, but also to the community, and avoid being negative at most times.
I couldn't have ended this talk in a better way. I think it was a great message. Thank you again, Dr. Sanana. I hope we can do this soon. Again,
it's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Dr. Maida.